What we want to do with a proposal is we want to make it as clear as possible. We want to put options, alternatives, and so on to make it so that a customer will make it very easy for a customer to buy our stuff. One of the things in a proposal that we used to do, and it blew my mind, was we used to put together stuff like this. Now, with all the computer stuff, you can do it a whole lot easier. We'd have something like this. And then we'd have, let's say, a must. You know, we might have some more information in there, but I think you get the idea here. And we might, you know, if we had, like, you know, today with all the computer stuff, you know, you might have a little thing like this. Nobody in a proposal knows what this is. They just don't know what that is. You know, I hope everybody in this room knows what that is. MTGNR 16.4, that's it. Okay. But when I get, say, 15 tools or 10 tools down the line here, you know, there's going to be numbers in there that your distributors aren't going to know what it is and so on. And if you make them a must and an optional, must and optionals, now you've given a guy some alternatives. That's the way to put together a proposal. Totally fantastic. And they see that and they say, I need something like that. And then at the bottom you say, any tools not used can be returned in the first 12 months or something like that. What's to lose in this package? This sounds great. Somebody says, well, why should I buy this from you? It's a lot more money. Well, you know, that's up to you, but take a look at this. Here's 10 reference letters that I have. Does the other supplier have 10 references? Here's testimonials that we've collected around the country for this product. Does your competitor have, my competitor have that? Here's some demo stuff so you can try it out in your factory. You know, and here's graphics, you know, showing all the stuff. You know, Seiko's got a lot of really beautiful graphic stuff that we could use. Here's a CD showing a thing. Here's the tape, as you mentioned, over here, and so on and so forth. And that's a huge proposal. You don't send this in a mail. You bring this over, and you give it to the guy. Let me tell you, when people buy stuff that's significant, they do not make decisions on their own. Now, there are some cases of that. Most often, decisions are made in a group. So you want to give your contact at the account all the tools that he needs to sell this in for you when you're not there. And once you start cranking this stuff out, you know, tapes and stuff, you can bang them out, make copies of them, CDs, same thing, graphs, get all this together. Once you get used to doing this, you can bring a big package into a customer and leave it with them, explain to them what it is, run through it, and bingo. You leave, he gets his boss in, shows it to him, and your competitors are in there, you know, this is, they're not going to do this. This thing works. I'm telling you, put together a proposal. Bigger is better. Big time. Make it clear. Some of the things we've been talking about. Okay. I'd like to start out this morning with what I consider to be bonus material. Just kind of a collection of materials that I put together singularly for the Seiko people. And if you open your books to page 89, that's where the first of this material starts. I just want to be certain that everyone understands fully how distributors make money and the concept of margins and all this kind of stuff. And you may think this is elementary, and it, quite frankly, I guess it is elementary, but to me, it's worth a full and complete understanding. So if we start out considering that $100 is the sales price that something sells for, then that would be 100%. If it's a distributor would generally buy something for $80 that he would sell for $100. Now, obviously, a distributor would like to buy it for less than $80. And I think the national average, and I'm sure you guys know more better than I, but the national average for distributors is right over 20%. Is that a valid number, like 21 or something?
It's like 21 or
22. 22, something like that. There are some items in a distributor's offering that he might have a 38% margin on. But that's going to offset those that he might have a 10% or a 5% margin. It's my understanding that if a distributor does not have a 20% gross margin or a gross profit, that's from what he pays for it to what he sells it for, if he doesn't average that, he's probably going to go out of business over time. I mean, unless there's some new way to reduce costs. Out of this 20%, he has to pay salaries. He has to pay the cost of his buildings, electricity, inventory carrying costs, his promotional expenses, and every other cost that he has. And if he does a fairly decent job of holding down all this cost that's in here, he'll have a net profit of 5%. So that's the situation that faces a distributor. On the other hand, a manufacturer is going to sell this thing for $80 because that's what the distributor paid for it. And the manufacturer, his margin better be around $40. I mean, his total cost, this is the manufacturer's cost, better be around $40 so that he has a 50% gross profit. And a manufacturer needs that much because he's got to pay for a lot more.